Good evening again. It is good to see each of you. I'm glad you're here. Some of y'all know me pretty well by now, and I know that it's Good Friday, it's Holy Friday, and I know this is a somber night, but I know, if you know me at all, that if I have good news, it's hard for me to hold back. So, I know what's coming Sunday. Amen. So, as we study Scripture and we talk about Jesus hanging on a cross, I'm also going to reference to Him rising from the grave as well. I'm going to start out by reading some Scripture. I'm going to read from Luke 23, and I'm going to read verses 33 to 43. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on His right and one on His left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." And they cast lots to divide His clothing. And the people stood by watching, but the leaders scoffed at Him, saying, "He saved others, let Him save Himself, if He is the Messiah of God. He is His chosen one." The soldiers also mocked Him, coming up and offering Him sour wine, and saying, "If you're the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over Him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there kept deriding Him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you're under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." And this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this scripture. Lord, thank you for sending your Son. Lord, thank you for loving us so much. Lord, I just pray this morning as we study this scripture, as we prepare ourselves for Easter Sunday, Lord, that you open our hearts, Lord, and we hear the words that come from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The kingdom and the cross. You know, when Jesus came into Jerusalem the Sunday before, he came to celebration and fanfare. And we talked about this last Thursday, and this whole week we've talked about lessons Jesus taught all the way to the cross. We referred to it last night. We talked about how even on his way to the garden, he was teaching a lesson. But I'm here to tell you, even hanging on the cross, there's so many lessons that he taught from the cross that I want to concentrate on those. First, I want to give you a quote from Jim Cimbala. It says, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. No one is beyond God's grace. No situation anywhere on earth is too hard for God." You see, Jesus had no intention of saving himself. He said, that's not what he came for. That's not what he came to earth for. Instead, he came to earth in order to save us. He came to earth in order to save me. He came to earth in order to save you. And that's exactly what he did. Jesus Christ is the perfect model of a servant leader. We talked about servant leadership last night. He's the perfect model. He taught his disciples all the way to the end. He served his disciples all the way to the end. And you see, as disciples of Jesus Christ, we are called to emulate this type of servant leadership. The type that Jesus taught us. So what is a servant leader? I know that term sounds like a contradiction, but we only have to read a few gospel passages in order to get some understanding. For example, in the Gospel of Mark, James and John asked Jesus if they could be the ones to sit at the right and left of Christ in His glory. And Jesus replied, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord over them, and their right and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you." Have any of you all ever had a boss that rided over you? That just rode you and rode you and rode you, and it's not fun, is it? It's not fun. Thank God our Savior taught us by example. He taught us His way. He taught us the way we should lead others by the way He lived His life on earth. You see, Jesus is the perfect example of a servant leader. You see, Jesus said, "Whoever wants to become great among you must become your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be a slave of all. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many." That's why Jesus didn't take Himself down from the cross. It's because He was fulfilling His purpose. He was fulfilling the reason why He came to earth, which is for you and me. You see, the grace and the love, the understanding of our Lord Jesus Christ is so unbelievably and exceedingly great that it's hard for us to understand. Again, the first people He forgave when He was hanging on the cross were the people who were crucifying. It's hard for us to understand that kind of love and forgiveness. We get mad. And it's hard for us to forgive someone who unwillingly cuts us off in traffic. Or someone who may be a friend of ours who hurts our feelings by mistake. Sometimes it's hard for us to release. But even the people that were crucifying Jesus, Jesus was forgiving them as He was suffering. Amen? Again, He forgave those who were putting Him to death. The same ones who were dividing up His clothing and mocking Him. And we see in verse 35 that as the people stood watching this humiliating execution, they said, "He saved others, let Him save Himself. If He is the Christ of God, the chosen one." But the fact is that Jesus is the Christ. He is the chosen one. Sure, He could have come down from the cross, but He knew what His purpose was. He was to do this for humankind. And He knew that had He come down, that there was no way that humans could be reconciled to God. As the perfect servant leader, Christ showed us by His willingness to go through the death on the cross. You see, that's what true love, that's what true leadership is all about. As Jesus declared in John 15, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." Greater love has no one than this, that He laid down His life for His friends. Jesus has commanded us to love each other. And the true test of a servant leader is that he or she leads by example. Jesus led and leads us by example, by a perfect example. You see, this is exactly what Jesus did as He walked the earth. It's exactly what Jesus did as He hung on the cross. You see, the servant leader puts the servant before him or himself. It's what Jesus' ministry is all about. An excellent example of this can be found in the Gospel of John, when Jesus took off His outer clothing and wrapped a towel around His waist and began to wash His disciples' feet. We talked about that last night. The perfect example of Jesus taking the place of a servant the night before He gave Himself up for us. And He said to him, He said to Peter, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." And then Peter told Him, he said, "Then Lord, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." You see, it didn't take long for Peter to change his tune. He realized that Jesus was washing his feet. He was wanting to cleanse him. We need to be cleansed by Jesus Christ. To have relationship with God, we have to be cleansed. Jesus came to serve us. Are we doing this? Are we serving each other? Chapter 13, Jesus says, "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I've set an example that you should do as I have done for you." Jesus has called all of us. He's called all of us who take the name of Christian, to take the name of follower, to serve each other. To serve each other in love. Are we doing this? Are we serving each other? If we are, can we be more effective servant leaders? In 1 Peter 5, Peter gives us 7 steps to becoming effective servant leaders. Step 1 is in verse 2. He instructs us to tend the flock of God that is in your charge, exercising the oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you to do it, not for sordid gain, but eagerly. Step 2 is in verse 3. Do not lord over those in your charge, but be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will win the crown of glory that never fades away. Step 3 is found in verse 5. It says, "In the same way, you who are younger must accept the authority of the elders. And all of you must clothe yourself with humility in your dealings with one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore." Step 4 is humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that He may exalt you in due time. Step 5 is found in verse 7. It says, cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. Step 6 is found in verse 8. It says, "Discipline yourselves. Keep alert. Like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around, looking for someone to devour." And then step 7, the final step that Peter gives us in 1 Peter chapter 5, says, "Resist him steadfast in your faith, for you know that your brothers and sisters in all the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering." You see, Jesus modeled servant leadership on the cross as He had modeled it in His perfect life. We see in our scripture lesson that as Jesus hung on the cross, there was a sign placed above His head. "This is the King of the Jews." This sign was intended to mock the Jewish authority and to mock Christ's claim. But it's an ironic inscription. And to the very charges against Jesus actually proclaimed His deity and honor. As the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, "And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted Him to the higher place and gave Him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Jesus Christ is Lord. You see, this acknowledgement that Jesus is Lord is actually an acknowledgement that Jesus Christ is God. He's the Son of God, but He's fully human and He's fully God. He's our Lord. He's our King. He's our servant King who came to give Himself as a ransom for our sins. Now we see in our scripture lesson that Jesus was executed with 2 other men, and that those men were criminals. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at Jesus. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and save us." But the other criminal humbled himself and bowed down before Jesus. And Jesus told him that today you'll see me in paradise. You see, Jesus is in the saving business. That's why he came. That's why he lived his perfect life. The thief on the cross basically had humbled himself and confessed his sin before Christ. Are we ready to do that tonight? Are we ready to confess our shortcomings before Jesus Christ? You see, the thief came a long way theologically while he was on the cross. He recognized Jesus as being the perfect model of servant leadership. He recognized Jesus as being his way to salvation. Are we ready to take those steps to salvation? Are we ready to put our faith in Jesus and truly repent of our sins? You see, that's what it takes for us to be saved. Jesus, again, came. He lived a perfect life. He took our sins to the cross where he suffered. He felt the pain that we deserve. Then he took our sins to the grave. And again, I told you I'm going to jump ahead, but Sunday morning, on that third day, Jesus rose, but he left our sins behind. Again, if you wonder why Jesus did what he did, go look in the mirror. Look in your eyes. You will not look into anybody's eyes that Jesus didn't die for. Are we ready to put our faith fully in Jesus Christ? Again, he's the perfect model for a servant leader. He is our servant king. Do we truly want to be like Jesus? Do we want to live our life? Do we want to follow his model, his perfect model? If you haven't done so already, and you're willing, tonight's a perfect night to put your faith in Jesus Christ. To put your faith into a Savior who took our sins to the grave. You see, it's our choice. We can either scoff or we can ask the King of Kings to remember us. I'm so thankful that I serve a God that can take a torture device and make it a symbol of love and forgiveness and salvation. That's the God we serve. That's the God we serve tonight. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for sending us Jesus. Lord, thank you for the opportunity we have to put our trust and our faith in him. Lord, thank you for all your many blessings. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here tonight or anyone listening online, Lord, that may not have that relationship with you, Lord, they put the trust and they lay their sins at the foot of this cross. In Jesus' name, amen. And now let me offer this in way of benediction, and Brandon's going to play a postlude. Let's pray. All merciful Father, God of infinite love and compassion, though we have strayed, you have never abandoned us. In this season of repentance, we come confessing and reaching out for the healing power of your forgiveness. Go with us now in peace. Amen.